All right, if you're able to turn with us to Deuteronomy chapter 32, and I just want to share a few brief things concerning the Lord and concerning our country. And if you think about it, America is one of the amazing stories and experiments and ideas that has worked for so many years, and we've been blessed, and we are blessed because of the founders and how they desired to form a nation that would have the freedom of worship, that would have a we the people for government, that would elect its leaders, have a constitution, a bill of rights, a declaration of independence, so that we can have the freedoms that you and I enjoy today. And I was thinking while y'all were singing, if you remember, it was on November the 11th, 1620, when the pilgrims came and landed on Plymouth Rock. And when they got off and they kind of surveyed the territory a little bit, they got back on the boat. And when they got back on the boat, they formed what we call the Mayflower Compact. And in the Mayflower Compact, one of the lines that was in that, and I keep it in the back of my Bible, but I want to read to you what it said. Let me get back there to it. He said, "We whose names are underwritten, loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord, King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King," remember this is prior to the Declaration of Independence, this is in 1620, "defender of the faith," and so forth, "having undertaken," now listen to this, "for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith." And so when our forefathers came to the Americas, they came with an idea of serving the Lord. Matter of fact, I have a copy of, just a copy of what it looked like, but it's a A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way through Z, and it's how they learned it with the Bible. If you look at a lot of our laws that we were established on, they came out of Deuteronomy. And so we were a nation that was built upon virtues, values, morality, inalienable rights that were built upon the things of God. And so when we get, before I read the passage, when we get to 1776, we have to remember that in 1740, a great awakening was taking place in the colonies and in America. And that great awakening under the preaching of Jonathan Edwards, he was preaching on the reality of hell. And everywhere he went, people were being converted. They were being saved. Hearts were being changed. And then following Jonathan Edwards comes along George Whitefield. And under the preaching of Whitefield, a great awakening and a revival just really broke out, and it just continued. And that revival and those hearts that were changed were key in the Declaration of Independence that would take place later in 1776. One of the men that was there listening to the preaching of Whitefield was a man named Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin was key and instrumental in the Declaration of Independence later. We had John Adams, Ben Franklin, several others, Thomas Jefferson, that were all a part of the committee to draft the Declaration of Independence. And on July the 4th, 1776, they adopted that declaration. And then after a signing ceremony in August, it wasn't long, we were in war, the Revolutionary War, to declare ourselves independent from oppression from Great Britain. And so when we get to Deuteronomy 32, if you have your Bibles, we'll read 1 through 4. "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." Now listen to verse 2. "Let my teaching drop as the rain." Let my teaching drop as the rain. "My speech distill as the dew. As raindrops on the tender herb and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God." Now watch this. This is the verse I want to concentrate on, verse 4. "He is the rock," capital R. "His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Now, when we see the term rock in the scriptures, especially where it's capitalized, who is that? Who is the author speaking of? Jesus, that's right. Thank you, Casey. It's Jesus. In fact, you can go to 1 Corinthians 10, and there's the reference. It's Jesus that is our rock. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 6 says, "And that rock that followed you was Christ." Christ is the rock. Now, we talk about it all the time, about Christophanies and how Jesus is from everlasting. Jesus was key in the founding of this nation, as Jesus is key in anything that we do in life. You say, why is that? I was witnessing to a man this past week, and he's a man that needs the Lord, and was praying for him and talked to him about the Lord, and he was moved by the things of God, and I got a feeling it won't be long that he gives his heart to Jesus Christ. But this individual, I shared with him that the air that you're breathing was created by the Lord Jesus Christ. When God created the air, the Bible says in John chapter 1 that he was there at creation, that all things were created through him and for him. And I said, the heartbeat that you just had is because that Jesus has granted you to have one more heartbeat, because God loves you and he sent his son and he died for you on the cross. And he is that rock. And the Bible says that he is not only a rock, but he is a rock of salvation. In fact, if you want to notate a few scriptures, Jesus is the world's saving rock, by the way, and no one can be saved apart from Jesus Christ. In fact, he is the living and saving rock in 2 Samuel 22:47. There's a song written after this, Kevin. I don't remember the title. It may be "The Lord Liveth." I'm not sure. The Lord lives, blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. Okay, then he is not only the living and saving rock, he is the exalted rock in Scripture. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, he is the smitten rock. And you shall strike the rock and water will come out. Jesus was struck at Calvary, at the cross. And it was the water of life that came out of the rock of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? He's not only the smitten rock, he is the solid rock of Matthew chapter 7, 24 and 25. He is a strong foundation that you can build your life on. He is a strong foundation that this nation can build its country on. We need Jesus. Matter of fact, we stand or fall based on what we do with God, because God is sovereign over the nations of the world. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches, and we studied it when we're in Daniel chapter 2. If you can remember, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 35, there was a stone cut out without hands. And that stone came and it crushed the feet of the image. And that image represented various empires. And all of those kingdoms fell when that stone crushed the image. And then the Bible goes on to say that that stone became like a mountain and filled the whole earth. That is the gospel spreading. That is the gospel and the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the sovereign over the nations of the world. That's why it's important that we exalt him for who he is and acknowledge him for his rightful place as sovereign over our nation. And when our nation does that, God will bless the nation. So he is our solid rock. Matthew 7, 25 says, "And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." He is not only the solid rock, he is the precious cornerstone in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. The Bible says, "Thus says the Lord God, I lay in Zion," that's Israel, "I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." He is that tried stone, that precious cornerstone. He is the chief stone. It is Jesus Christ. You know, our nation can't hide from the judgment of God either. Because the Bible teaches that to whomever that stone falls on will be crushed to powder. And so we need the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the few minutes that I have, and as we conclude this, that's my heart's desire for this nation. My heart's desire for this nation is that people would wake up to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would wake up to morality, that they would wake up to their need. There is a reason that we have in God we trust on our money. There is a reason that our pledge has one nation under God. There is a reason that there is churches all over America. There's a reason for all of that, and it's because this nation was founded on Judeo principles. And we have the freedom of religion. And when we respect that freedom of religion, then we'll respect inalienable rights. Amen. And my heart's desire, and I'm sure it's your heart's desire, is that we will see a revival in America, a great awakening. Nothing can change a nation like the Lord Jesus Christ can change a nation. The need of our world today is still the same. It's the same need that has always existed since the fall of man, and that is Jesus Christ, the seed. We need Jesus. And my prayer is that the gospel will spread across this land. We need to do our part. Whenever God opens a door for you to witness, that door has been opened by the Holy Spirit, and we do not want to refuse that. We need to say, yes, Lord, I'll witness. Yes, Lord, I'll be a good example. Yes, Lord, I'll be an ambassador of Christ, a minister of reconciliation. And when we do that, we'll be amazed at what God will do. I was sharing with Kevin the other day, and Kevin, I don't know how long that was, but maybe it was last year, prior to all the COVID, when I was doing it, but I was praying every day, God, give me somebody today to witness to. Somebody today, every day, somebody to witness to. And I want to tell you, when you pray those prayers, the Lord is faithful, and He will send you to people to share Christ with. Who knows that the one person that you share Christ with might later or even at that time come to the Lord, and who knows that that might not be the next Billy Graham in America. You can't predict. God is to whom we have to obey. The Bible says, and I want to conclude with this, the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 6, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Now, think about something. Whenever they were turning the world upside down, I think they turned the world upside right. But whenever they turned the world upside down, it was lawlessness. There was no protections. It was a horrible climate to live in. There was persecution like you've never seen. But these Christians, loyal to their King, Jesus Christ, who had been bought at a price, the price of His blood, who had committed their life totally to His ambassadorship, to serve the Lord Jesus, God began to use that small band of Christians and change the climate and culture of the world. And He can do that today through committed believers who are willing to say, Lord, use me.